We are in the
Akdama.
We're not doing the Akdama just yet. We're going to do right now. Yeah, we will do the Akdama today, but we're going to start quickly with the Haskamas HaRabbanim Sheyichya V'nei HaGoyin HaMechaber Zal. Page Gimel, opposite of page 4.
Page Gimel.
So last week we learned the Haskamas, the endorsements, the approbations of two of the colleagues of the Alter Rebbe, Rabbi Zusha Vanapoli, Rabbi Yehuda Leah Bakoyin, and they were written for the original publication of the Tanya, which, as we mentioned last year, the Tanya was originally published in the year 1796. When the Tanya was originally published, there were two parts to Tanya. There was the Likutei Amarim, the 53 chapters of Likutei Amarim, which we already finished learning, and the second part was Shar Yichud V'Emunah. Shar Yichud V'Emunah is all about Achdus Hashem, the unity of Hashem, and the Kabbalistic concepts of Yehuda Ilah and Yehuda Tata, two different types of unity of Hashem, and that's Mirz Hashem, what we will be begin studying soon. And that was, so the original Tanya contained Likutei Amarim and the Shar Yichud V'Emunah. Later on, during the lifetime of the Alter Rebbe, a third part was added to Tanya, and that was called the Geras HaTshuva. That's the third part of Tanya, which is in the Sefer over here, which is 12 chapters, all about explaining the concept of tshuva, also according to Nigla, but also according to Chassidus. What does it mean? What is tshuva? What is the significance of tshuva, and how is it done? And Mirz Hashem will learn that also one day. So those are the three parts of Tanya that were published during the lifetime of the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe passed away in the year 1812. He was a relatively young man. He was 68 years old. And it was during the famous war of Napoleon against the Russian government. And the Alter Rebbe sided with the Tsar. He sided very strongly with the Tsar. And he felt that Napoleon would be a catastrophe for the Yidden. As he wrote, he says, if Napoleon wins, so it will mean material wealth for the Yidden. But it will be, spiritually speaking, it will be terrible. As Taka happened to the Yidden in France, the situation of Yiddishkeit in France deteriorated greatly at that time. Not going into it right now, maybe for another time, another place. Napoleon's idea of emancipation and freedom was very different than the American idea. And Alter Rebbe was very strongly on the side of the Tsar, and he, in fact, even some of his chassidim, we know at least of one of them who became a spy on behalf of the Tsar. Well, chassid, his name was Rav Moshe Meisels, who was fluent in languages and knew Russian and knew French, and he became actually a spy. Yeah. And the Alter Rebbe was known for his very, very vocal and vehement opposition to Napoleon, which, by the way, there was a divide then amongst the Gedolei Yisrael. There were many Gedolim who wanted Napoleon to win, because the Tsar was by no stretch of the imagination was he a friend of the Yidden. Right. Well, as Napoleon, as he entered Russia and made headway, so he arrived in the city where the Alter Rebbe was, the city of Liadi. And the Alter Rebbe escaped, he ran away. And while he was running away, he became ill, apparently from the trouble of traveling. And it was the middle of the winter, and the Russian winter is not easy. And he passed away while he was running away. So this was in the year 1812. And the next year, in the year Tafkuf Ayin Daled, which is 1813 or 1814, the next year, the sons of the Alter Rebbe republished Tanya. And by the way, this was the first time that the Tanya was published with the Alter Rebbe's name in it, because as we mentioned last week, the original editions of Tanya were anonymous. And they added to it two parts. And that's how we have the Tanya, which we have in front of us today, which is comprised of five different sections. The three sections that were printed during the lifetime of the Alter Rebbe, which is Likutei Amarim and Shar Yichud V'Emunah and Igeres HaTshuva. And they added Igeres HaKodesh, which is 32 letters that the Alter Rebbe wrote. We'll get there one day also, Mirz Hashem. Most of the letters are about the mitzvah of tzedakah. There are actually fundraising letters that the Alter Rebbe wrote, but every single one of them contains incredible insights according to Chassidus and according to Kabbalah on what tzedakah is all about. And then they added Kuntres Achron. Kuntres Achron is the fifth part of Tanya, which is without a doubt the most difficult part of Tanya. very, very Kabbalistic. It's actually Pulpulim in Kabbalah. And basically, as we'll see soon, that the sons of the Alter Rebbe say that while the Alter Rebbe was writing Tanya, so on the side he had his own notes, because he was trying to make sense out of the different statements in the Zohar and the words of the Arizal. Sometimes they seem to contradict each other, and especially in the Prakim Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem, the Alter Rebbe makes a lot of statements, but the Alter Rebbe on the side wrote for himself a bunch of notes to justify what he was saying and to explain the different passages in the Zohar upon which it's based. That's called Kuntres Achran. So again, the Alter Rebbe's children, they published the Nutanya, now with five parts, and in doing so, they added this Haskama. Now obviously, when they're publishing their father's works, they're not giving a Haskama as if we approve of the content. That's not exactly appropriate for the children to say about their father that they approve of the content. But the Haskama is basically saying, we gave permission for this to be printed. Number one. And number two, as we already saw last time also, that one of the functions of Haskama back then was to enact a gzeirah, a decree that no one should publish it for a certain amount of time so as not to cause the publishers any financial harm. So let's do this inside. Again, page Gimel, opposite of page 4. Haskamas harabanim sheyichya, this is the Haskama of the rabbis, b'nei ha-goyin ha-mechaber, the sons of the goyin, the author, zecheinu lebracha nishmas ha-meidin. Ha-yoyisho huskam etzleinu, because we have agreed, Litain Rishus of Harmona, we gave permission and authorization. Lahalis al Mikhba Shatfus, to bring to print. Lizikarin Livnei Yisrael, so that it should be something which is in the perpetual memory of Klal Yisrael. Kosuv Divrei Yesher Ve'emes, the words which are straightforward, words which are true. Divrei Elokim Chaim, the divine words, Shal Adenenu Avinu Merenu V'Rabenu Zal, of our father, the Rebbe. Ksuvim biksav yodi hakadosh ba'atzmi. These are letters. Again, this is primarily talking about the addition that they added, which is the fourth part, which is the letters. Ksuvim biksav yad hakadosh ba'atzmi. These are letters which the Alter Rebbe wrote with his own hand. Ulasherni hakadosh, and they're his own words. Shekol devarav, as we know, because by the way, that's a chiddush, because most of the Alter Rebbe's Torah is oral. We've spoken about this in the past. In other words, yes, we have the Tanya, which the Alter Rebbe wrote. And there are some letters that the Alter Rebbe wrote that we have, also in addition to what's printed in Tanya. And obviously, the Alter Rebbe also wrote the Shulchan Aruch Harav. But the vast majority of the Alter Rebbe's Torah was not written by the Alter Rebbe. You know, the Likutei Torah and Torah Ur, which is the Mamar and the Chassidic discourses of the Alter Rebbe, they were transcribed, yes, by the different Chayzrim, the different people who heard it and wrote it down. I think we mentioned once how the Alter Rebbe, when he would say Torah, he'd get so excited that he would sometimes even do somersaults while he was saying the Torah. Literally, yeah.
It was in good shape.
What? Apparently, the Alter Rebbe was in very good shape. The Alter Rebbe was a tremendous gibber. They say that he would fast very often, the Alter Rebbe. And when did he know that he wasn't that he had to break his fast? I don't remember the exact number, but in the olden times the gemaras were very, very heavy. I forget the number, but when he wasn't able to lift a certain amount of gemaras with his left hand, he knew he had to break his fast. That was how he knew. Now, Alter Rebbe was known as he was a gibber. Yeah. So we used to do the somersaults together with the Alter Rebbe, so as not to miss any words. But again, most of the, you see that set over there. You see the red second shelf over there. That whole red set over there, also extending into the third, that's called Mamari Admur HaZaken, which is the discourse of the Alter Rebbe. So all that is the oral Torah of the Rebbe. So here they're saying what's special about the letters that they included over here in Tanya is that these were literally written by the Alter Rebbe. Because when someone transcribes orally, you're not catching every word, and you're also more focused on the content, on the substance, rather than the exact words.
Look over the transcriptions to make sure it's correct.
He definitely did to some of them, but it's still not the same as him writing it. In other words, to say that every word is precise, the words that Dr. Rebbe wrote is precise. When Dr. Rebbe edited, he was editing more for the content of it. So, Shekol Dvarav, that all the words of the Alter Rebbe, Kegachali Yish Beiris, are like burning coals, Yalhivu Alevavis, they set ablaze the hearts, Lekarvan Lavien Shebeshamayim, to bring them close to the Father in heaven. We've called this section Igeres HaKodesh, the holy letters. Sherubam Hayu, because most of them are Igeres Shaluach, letters sent me Eis Kveit Kedushasai, sent by His Holiness, Lahoyres La'am Hashem HaDerech Ilchuba, to teach the nation of Hashem the way, the path on which they should go, Vamaisa Shayasun, the actions, that which they should do. Umachmas, and because Shebekama Mekoimis, in many of the places in these letters, Hitziv Leitziyunim Besefer Lakuti Amarim Shalai, the Alter Rebbe refers to Lakuti Amarim, and as we know, a rule, Vedivri Torah Aniim Bemakim Echad Vashirim Bemakim Acher, we know as a rule that sometimes words of Torah are poor in one place and rich elsewhere. In other words, that's the derech of Torah, that sometimes something is written in one place in short, and in the other place it's elaborated upon. So what they're saying is that sometimes there's something which is written in short in Likutei Amarim, but it's elaborated upon in the Geres HaKodesh. So that's why they're adding it to the Tanya. Umagam, Bishvil Davish and Eschadosh Bein, especially also there is something new here, which is Kuntres Achron. This is the fifth section of Tanya. Kuntres Achron, I guess that literally translates as the last booklet. Al Eza Prakim. The Kuntres Achron is on some of the prakim of Tanya Asher Kosav, which the Alter Rebbe wrote Be'ez Chibrei HaSefer Likutei Amarim, while he was authoring the Sefer Likutei Amarim. So the Alter Rebbe wrote Pilpul V'Iyun Amuk, these are pilpulim and very deep expositions, Al Mamari Zohar Ve'Eitz Chaim U'Pri'Eitz Chaim Shenirim K'Soysirim Ze'Aza, on statements of the Zohar and statements in the Eitz Chaim and the Pri Eitz Chaim, both of those are from the Kisvei HaRizal, the writings of the Rizal, and they seem to be contradicting one another. But a Muruach Mifinasayim, with the wisdom the Alter Rebbe has, Meyashvam, he reconciles them, Kol Dibur Aleifanav, every single statement now makes sense. Shekasa B'Lukuti Amarim, now we understand, it helps us understand what Alter Rebbe wrote in Lukuti Amarim. So therefore, Roi Re'inu, we've seen, Sheroi V'Nochin, that it is proper L'Chabram, to append them im Sefer Likutei Amarim to the Sefer of Likutei Amarim v'Igeres HaTshuva shel Kvei Kedushas Adineinu Avinu Merenu V'Rabbeinu Zecheinu Levracha. Ilo Zayis, and therefore Ba'anu, we have come lahatil Guda Rabba, we come to make a big fence. U'Gzeiras Nachash de Rabbanan, the Gzeira of the snake of the Rabbanan, the Lesla Asvasa, that cannot be healed. The word Nachash is a Rashi Tevis of Nidui, Cheirem, Shamta, which are all different forms of excommunication, and together they form the word nachash, a snake which has venom and bites. In other words, if you break this cheiran, it's like a snake that bites, and you can't be healed from that venom. So therefore, that we're making a very strong zera shal yarim ishas yaday. No one should lift their hand lahatfis to print kitav nisam in the current form ezebelezel, or even one without the other. In other words, there are five parts of Tanya, even to print one without the other. Meshach Hamisha Shanim, for 5 years, Miyem Dolmata, from the day signed below. Beram, however, Kigoinda, at this point, Sharach Lo'idui, I have to give a little of a disclaimer, we have to let you know. Sheba Avinesenu Arabim, that due to our many sins, Safu Tamu Kisve Yadei HaKadosh Sheba Atzmai. The actual letters, as written in the handwriting of the Alter Rebbe, no longer exist. Which is kind of interesting.
What happened?
I don't know, they got lost. Maybe they were sent around, maybe they were private collectors, I don't know. But they did, in other words, when they were coming to print these letters, they didn't have the actual Ksav Yad of the Alter Rebbe. Asher Hoyu Bedikto Gadol, the actual words of the Alter Rebbe obviously were extremely precise. Lechaser v'leyater eis echad, there wasn't one letter added, one letter missing. But all that's left to us is the little of the many ashenilkitu echad leechad, which we gathered one by one. All we have is copies, which are scattered about, spread about amongst the Talmidim. Therefore, why did they find this important to write? Therefore, they're saying if you find any mistake in the Igeres HaKodesh, so Shigiyos Miyavin, you know, that's who could understand the reason why there are always mistakes. You will find that if it's an obvious mistake, you'll realize it's Mito Sefer. You'll realize it's Pashat, a copying error. Vakavana tia brura, and the intention of the Alter Rebbe still should remain clear. Hayom Yom Hei, they're signing on Thursday, Chav Beis Iyar, the 22nd of Iyar, Tavkuf Ayin Dalid, Leprat Katan. And here we have the sons, the Alter Rebbe had three sons. The oldest one is Naum Dov Ber, Ben Adinenu Avinu Merinu Rabbeinu Agoyin Achasid Kadesh Yisrael Maran of Rabbanu Shneir Zalman, Zechinu Levrachan, Shmasa begins in Merinu. He's the one who succeeded the Alter Rebbe. That was his oldest son. He was born a year after the Magid of Mezrich passed away. The Alter Rebbe's teacher was the Magid of Mezrich, whose name was Dov Ber. So he was named after the Alter Rebbe's teacher. And the second son, Chaim Avram, also, Ben Adinenu Avinu Merinu Rabbeinu Agoyin Achasim Ranav Rabbanu Shneir Zalman, Zatzal Navgam, and and the third son, Moshe, Ben Adinenu Yavi Merinu Vernabi Agoyin Achasim Shneir Zalman, Zal Navgam. Okay, that's that.
How many years since you were Niftar, the Oredan, took them how many years to get it together?
This was the year after he passed away.
Oh, almost a year?
1 year, yeah. The Alter Rebbe passed away in Tavkuf Ayin Gimel, and this is Tavkuf Ayin Dalet. Again, but again, the first three sections of first three parts of Tanya were printed in the Alter Rebbe's lifetime. This was the last two parts. Yeah.
These were separate publications, not like we have it today. One chibur.
No. The first time that it was published all together, and one chibur was this publication which they're referring to. They published it all together.
All together.
Yes.
Not three separate publications.
No. No, this was they published the three parts of Tanya, which
was before the Rebbe was alive,
which were published together. The three were published together. Yeah, during the Alter Rebbe's lifetime, and now they added these two parts, and for the first time, right, and ever since.
Put it together.
Right. This is actually 1814. Tavkuf Ayin Dalet will be 1814, and ever since that, when you say Tanya, that's a reference to the Sefer that includes all five parts. Okay, so we did so far. We did the title page. We spent a few minutes on that last week. The Alter Rebbe explains the goal of Tanya is Kikar Ve'elecha, to explain the pasuk Kikar Ve'elecha Adavr Miyoid Beficha Ovavavcha La'asay. You say. And then we did the haskamas of Rabbi Zusha of Anapolid and Yehuda Le'Bakoyin. We learned the haskama of the sons of the Alter Rebbe. And now the last thing we have to do is we have to learn now is the actual foreword of the Alter Rebbe, the Agdama of the Alter Rebbe. And page 6, Hakdama Samalakit. So this is the Hakdama of the compiler. Once again, the Alter Rebbe remains here anonymous because this was printed already in the first edition of Tanya. So the Alter Rebbe, he was anonymous and he was a compiler. That's all he compiled different things. V'hi igeres hashlucha leklalos anshei shleimenu. This is a letter which the Alter Rebbe sent to all the anash, all the members of the Chassidic community. Yivarchem, tzureim, v'yishmereim, may God bless them and keep them. Now this letter actually was written before the Alter Rebbe published Tanya. As we mentioned last week, well before the Alter Rebbe, in the years before the Tanya was published in the year 1796, already the Chassidim had the booklets of Tanya were already distributed by hand copy, it wasn't printed, it was distributed amongst Chassidim. So already several years before the Alter Rebbe printed the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe wrote this letter to Anash, explaining to them the reason why he was writing Tanya. As you will see, we probably won't get to this week, but we'll see the very end of the Hakdama from over here, in the very last, the last paragraph on the Sandan on the next page. That was a part the Alter Rebbe added for the actual publication of Tanya in 1796. But the whole beginning of this letter was written beforehand. It was a letter sent by the Alter Rebbe wherein he explains his purpose and why he's writing Tanya.
We know who is the Melaket? I didn't say his name.
It was the Alter Rebbe, the Balatanya.
Oh, that's
he decided to be anonymous.
But when he published it, again, until after the Alter Rebbe passed away, the Tanya was always printed without his name. His name did not appear in Tanya until after he passed away. So Alter Rebbe writes, Aleichem Ishim Ekra, I call out to you, Chasheva people, Chasheva gentlemen, Shimu Elai, listen to me, Reitfei Tzedek, those who pursue righteousness, Mevakshi Hashem, those who seek Hashem, if you listen to me, V'yishma Aleichem Alikim, and may God listen to you. L'migadil Vad Katan, this letter is written to all of you, from the greatest to the smallest. Kol anash dimdino, saying all every member of the Chassidic community in our country, usmuche shala, and in the countries that are adjacent to where the Alter Rebbe was, ishal mekume yavi l'shalom. Every single person should find peace, v'chayim ad ha'olam, and life forever. Netzach salavod, amin kin yiratzen. Okay, the function of this hakdama, of this introduction to the Alter Rebbe, is either, it's not clear whether the Alter Rebbe was receiving complaints from Chassidim about the Tanya, or whether the Alter Rebbe was trying to preempt complaints that he felt that he would get. And the reason for this is that, as the Alter Rebbe will explain as we continue in the Hakdama, that Tanya was meant to replace Yechidus. Tanya was meant to replace Yechidus. We know that when a Chassid goes in for a private audience to his Rebbe, it's called Yechidus. And this is an age-old tradition, that Chassidim go into their Rebbe for a private audience. And obviously one of the reasons why Chassidim regularly go into their Rebbe is to ask for brachas, in whatever area it might be, whether it's health or shaluchim or parnasa. But another purpose of going into Yechidus, equally as important and probably more important, Chassidim would go into their Rebbe and they would tell them their issues, their problems in Avodas Hashem, their blockages, their impediments, their obstacles, their nisyonis, and the Rebbe would advise them on how to be able to serve Hashem better, how to overcome the different issues that they have. At a certain point, however, you know, the Alter Rebbe, what he accomplished in a few decades was incredible. He literally had hundreds of thousands of Chassidim in Lithuania, and in White Russia, and in Russia. Again, he was a young man, but apparently the Torah of the Alter Rebbe was so attractive, it literally attracted hundreds of thousands of Chassidim. And it came a point where it was just too difficult for the Alter Rebbe to be able to receive everyone individually. And the Alter Rebbe said, although he continued receiving people, and by the way, there was very still Alter Rebbe instituted very strong takanis. It was called takanis liyashna. Takanis means enactments. It was very strict about when Chassidim were allowed to come. Chassidim were only allowed to come once a year. And how many, in other words, largely because of the demand, it was impossible to accommodate everyone whenever they wanted. And you had your time to come, and if you came at a different time, you had to have permission. Like, I think, written permission from the mashpia in your city, otherwise you wouldn't be allowed. It was very strict. Alter Rebbe was very strict about these things. But again, largely because of the practical considerations. This interesting parallel we find with our Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that also used to receive people for Yechidus. And at a certain point in time, it just became impossible. Alter Rebbe and the Rebbe stopped receiving people on Yechidus. And we know that he started giving out dollars to people, and yes, people had the opportunity to ask questions then also. But it's an interesting parallel, and the points that the Alter Rebbe is going to write over here, perhaps also we can apply that to the Rebbe, because the Rebbe also just started giving advice, but more in a public venue. Just like the Alter Rebbe said, I'm going to write a sefer which is going to help everybody. The Rebbe also, he started speaking more often to the Chassidim, and the Rebbe said on numerous occasions, I'm addressing everyone. And everyone's questions is being addressed over here. In fact, there are people who wrote into the Rebbe and said, the question the Rebbe said, I answered by the Farbringen yesterday. The Rebbe would say that. Yes?
But why you didn't do like Yitro, like Moshe Rabbeinu with Yitro? When Moshe Rabbeinu cannot take care, you told him?
Made deputies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do the same?
They were not competent to give the answers.
I think if you look in Yisrael, you look in the Mefarshim, it's a little different. The people were coming to Moshe Rabbeinu for din Torahs. I understand, it's different. If you look in the Ramban, actually, the Ramban says that people still had to come to Moshe Rabbeinu for certain things. Certain things only Moshe was able to do. There were certain things he was able to delegate, but not everything. He was able to delegate that if two people had an argument about who the ox belonged to, that he could delegate. But to tell them, to give them over the messages from Hashem, Moshe couldn't delegate that. That the Yidden kept on coming to Moshe Rabbeinu for that. So here the Alter Rebbe is writing Tanya. And he says it clearly, as we'll learn. I don't know if we'll learn it this week or next week. He says very clearly that this is in the place of Yechidus, now you don't have to come and push in, and you don't have to come and press yourself to come in to see me privately. I'm writing you a sefer. Here are all the answers to all your questions. So again, I don't know whether Chassidim were already complaining to the Alter Rebbe about it, or whether he was just preempting what Chassidim were going to say. But the Alter Rebbe understood that Chassidim are not going to be happy with this. They're going to want to come in Yechidus. And that, so over here in the first part of the Akdama, over here in the first part of the introduction, the Alter Rebbe is going to give voice to the feelings of the Chassidim. And the Alter Rebbe is going to say, here are the reasons why it's better to go into Yechidus than to learn a Sefer. In other words, he's going to say, and the Alter Rebbe is actually going to give three reasons. Three reasons why Chassidim prefer to enter into Yechidus and to go and speak to the Rebbe face to face than to learn a Sefer. That's going to be the first part of the Hakdama, until you see on the next page here where it says, Ach b'yodev makirei. The next part, Alter Rebbe is going to say, however, and he's going to explain why nevertheless he's writing the Sefer. But the first part is over here is just, again, giving voice to either the concerns that he was already hearing from the Chassidim, or perhaps that which he knew that the Chassidim would feel when they get the Tanya. Let's do this inside. Hine. Mudazos, it is known. Kimargala bepumi de inshev. It's something which is standard, you'll hear it from the mouths of the people, b'chol anash, of all the chassidim lemer, it's a standard thing. It's like an adage that they say, ki eina doima shmias divrei musar, you can't compare hearing words of musar. Remember, when the alphabet it says the musar here, he doesn't mean the musar movement. This is before the musar movement began, and possibly, I'm not sure exactly the history, possibly before Rabbi Saul Salanter was born. But musar means words of teaching, or words of guidance. So you can't compare hearing words of Musar and guidance, liriya ukriya b'sfarim, to seeing it and reading about it in Sfarim. So what's interesting is that the Alter Rebbe is obviously playing off a famous Maimer Chazal, Eini doima riya l'shmiya, or Eini doima shmiya liriya. And when we say Eini doima shmiya liriya, what are we saying? Which one is the greater one? Ri'iyah is the greater one. When you see, is the greater one. But here the Alter Rebbe is saying the opposite. The Chassidim, they say, you can't compare hearing actual guidance from the Rebbe to seeing it in the Sefer. Which one is superior? Hearing. No. The Chassidim were saying they prefer to go in and hear words of guidance from the Rebbe rather than seeing in the Sefer. So even though that it's playing off a Maimer Chazal, which talks about the superiority of seeing, but here it's a little reversed. What?
The written word is there, so it's established.
Yes, but Chassidim preferred to go in instead of reading a sefer. They wanted to go into the Rebbe and hear the Rebbe speaking to them.
Right.
Why? And like I said, the Rebbe is going to give three reasons.
What could that be?
Why that would be? Yes. Reason number one. Reason number one has nothing to do with the content of the sefer, of the book, but it's a shortcoming of the reader. Insight. Shakoire, because when one reads a book, koire, the person reads lefi darkei v'daitei. You're using your own understanding, your own pathway, ulefi hasagas o tfisa sichloi, and according to that which your intellect can grasp, Bahashar Husham, wherever you may be. Vim sichle vidaite muvulvalam, and if your mind is confused, the Bahashekha Yisalahu Bavidas Hashem, and you're in complete darkness with regard to the service of Hashem, Bikoishi Yachal Liris Sa'ir Kitov, it is so difficult to see the light, although the light is good. Hagonus b'sfarim, which is hidden in the sfarim. Af ki masa ka'ir le'inayim, even though that in truth the light which is in the sefer is sweet for the eyes, umar pila nefesh, and can bring healing to the soul. But nevertheless, as we all know, this is something which we all experience. We open up a sefer and we have no idea what the person is trying to say. It's too deep, it's too difficult. And depending on how wise you are, how smart you are, how much experience you have in Avedas Hashem, the problem with reading a sefer is that many times the limitations, your intellectual limitations, And the fact that your mind might be fixed in a certain way, it's not always that you're stupid. It's not always that a person is stupid, but sometimes also you're not grasping what the teacher is saying is because you're so far elsewhere and your mind views and understands everything from such a different paradigm in such a different way that you just don't get what the author is saying. So reason number one, or deficiency number one, with reading a sefer as opposed to going into yichidus, that when you read a sefer, your ability to be able to absorb the light in the sefer and to be able to get the light and to be able to understand and allow it to heal you depends on your intellectual capabilities and your personal avodas Hashem. On the other hand, when a person goes into the Rebbe and goes into yichidus and receives guidance, the Rebbe knows who you are, and the Rebbe could see if you're in the darkness. And if you are, the Rebbe is going to speak to you those particular words that you need to hear, which will be able to, you'll be able to get based on your intellect, and the Rebbe will be able to shift you away from your mistaken notions and be able to lead you in the right way. So reason number one why it's preferable to hear orally words of encouragement and advice from a Rebbe as opposed to learning about the sefer is, once again, the sefer. And how often does it happen that you read something, you hear something, someone who read something, you got it completely wrong? That's not a problem with the sefer, that's the problem with you. However, when you go into the Rebbe, that problem will be mostly fixed, unless your mom is stubborn and insistent on not understanding, because the Rebbe will see, no, you're not understanding correctly. Explain it again, I'll explain it another way. Explain it according to the Rebbe gets you. He'll be able to explain it in a way that you can understand. So problem number one in looking at Sfarim is you. It's not the sefer, but it's you. The next two problems that the Alter Rebbe will describe are not problems in you, but there are certain problems that are inherent in Sfarim. There are certain, I wouldn't call it problems, but drawbacks that are inherent in Sfarim. Back inside. Ubar Mindain. Besides for this issue which we just explained, Hine Sifrei Hayira. There are certain Sfarim, we call Sifri Hayira, Sifri Musar, which are, they're constructed upon human intellect, human logic. Now, the Alter Rebbe doesn't identify by name which Sfarim he's talking about. And to be clear, the Alter Rebbe is talking about Sfarim that were written by holy people. We're not talking here about Sfarim that were written by people who we shouldn't be learning their Sfarim. Alter Rebbe says there were certain holy people who wrote Sfarim Avira. Sfarim here means Sfarim with advice in areas of Avodas Hashem. However, those Sfarim were based on human logic. The person sat and thought and figured out strategies and ways to overcome the Yetzer Hara, strategies and ways to be more productive, etc. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with writing a Sefer, which is based on utilizing the mind that Hashem gave you and the logic that Hashem gave you. But what's the problem with that? Problem that is, bivadai, it is certain that einan shavim l'chol nefesh, that these Sfarim, they're not one size fits all. They're not for everyone. They're for people who were like-minded and like personality of the author. Why? Not all minds and not all personalities are the same. The seichel of one person is not moved and awakened from that which another person gets awakened from and gets excited and moved by. And I'm sure everyone here has had that experience. Maybe you went with a friend, maybe you went with your spouse and you went to a lecture, and one of you walks out like, wow, that was the most amazing thing in the world. Another one walks out and says, eh. So was the speaker good? Was the speaker bad? The answer is neither. It's all subjective. You know, the one who you went with was all excited about is because that person shares a personality type with the speaker. And therefore, the speaker who was wise and was able to express him or herself well, and therefore that spoke to that person and really awakened. And your mind works differently, your heart works differently, your personality is different, and that person didn't speak to you. Which again, that's not a problem, it's not a deficiency, that's part of human nature, is that people are different. As the Gemara says, right? Kishem shein partsuveim shavim kachin de same shavim. Just like our faces aren't alike, so also our minds don't work alike. Our personalities are different one from another. And this is a challenge when you're trying to make something which is one size fits all. It's almost impossible. So that's something that I experience on a regular basis, because my job, I work, the organization I work for is called JLI, the Jewish Learning Institute. So we create curriculums, which the shluchim teach around the world, Torah curriculums on different topics. And we always, after we finish, we create different courses, and the shluchim give the courses, and always afterwards we survey the shluchim and ask them what they thought of the course, did they like it, they didn't like it, what did they like, what didn't they like, because we're always trying to improve based on the feedback that we get. What's interesting is that, first of all, you'll never get a course which everyone says is good. It never happens. It's always, you know, you can have 97% of the people saying it was amazing, and you'll have 3% saying, it wasn't so great. And then, sometimes, and this has happened a few times, and I'm scratching my head. We're talking about, you know, there's 300, 400, you know, shluchim who give it, who we survey, and you'll have sometimes that 90% of the shluchim will say, because every course has six lessons, they'll say, it was a good course, but lesson three was schwach, wasn't good. You'll always have the one person who will say, lesson three was the best lesson of the entire course. You'll always have that, you know, that one thing which everyone thought was, you know, a little the weaker one shliach will come along and say, oh, that was amazing. Because ain't they the same Shabbos? That's the way it works in this world. Our minds work differently. You can never, you can never please everyone. There's a reason why you can't please everyone. It's an impossibility, because people are different. People are opposites from each other, and what makes one person happy makes another person sad, etc. That's the way it works. So the problem with it is that Sefer that's written based on logic. So the person, the author, who was a wonderful person, probably a tzaddik. But that person tapped into his own personality and said, here's what moves me, here's all how I, this is what helps me fight my Yetzara. This is what helps me serve Hashem. And it's possible that a lot of people, it will resonate with them, but some people will be, for me that doesn't work. K'mesh amr razal, so one second. Maybe you're going to think, okay, everyone is different, but maybe if someone who's really wise can get everyone. Is that possible? Maybe you can have a person who is so wise that that person gets everyone. So we find, K'meshamu Razal, Chazal tell us, M'sechtes brachas, Gabe birchas, Chacham ha-razim, Al-shishim ribim Yisrael. There's a special bracha that's made when 600,000 Yidden come together. And as you know, 600,000 represents the entire spectrum of Kol Yisrael. Our nation began at 600,000. Which means that there are 600,000 different types of neshamas. We'll talk more about that soon. And therefore, when 600,000 Yidden get together, it's like we have the entire spectrum of the whole Klal Yisrael. I don't know when was the last time that 600,000 Yidden got together. It's an interesting question, trivia question. There were 600,000 Yidden there?
It was almost a million people.
So then did everyone make this bracha? Because there's a bracha to be made. So the bracha is... Bracha that's made is Chachabarach Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Chacham HaRazim.
What's Razim?
Razim means the secrets. The wise one of the secrets. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains that what does it mean? Why is that bracha made? Because She'ein De'yisim Doim Mezula Zuvuchu. Because when you have 600,000 people, again, you have the full range and spectrum of different personalities. It's impossible for any one individual to be able to get 600,000 different Yidden. Why? Because no one mind, the limited human mind, cannot get every single person. Some people get a small amount of people. When I say get, I mean connect with, understand. If you're a smarter person, you'll get 70%, 80%. But the ability that to have every single different type of person and to be able to relate to and get and understand every single one of them, even the best therapist can't do that. The only one who could, the only one is Hashem. But Hashem gets every single individual. And that's why when you have 600,000 yidden together, we say, blessed be Hashem, Chacham, the wise one, who knows the secrets that are within every single one's heart. So not that Hashem is a mind reader, that's not the point. The point here is that he's the one who's able to understand every single person. But that's not humanly possible. That's only possible for Hashem. A human being cannot understand everyone. Therefore, when a human being writes a sefer, automatically it has that limitation in that it'll appeal to a certain segment of the population. If it's a bestseller, that means obviously it appeals to a larger segment of the population. But there will always be certain people who are left out. The Ramban goes further. Ramban says from Melchames Hashem over there, Mesechtes Brachas, he brings down, we'll do this first outside, no one do this inside. The Gemara there says, that the Gemara talks about how there was an Amira who encountered another two Amirayim. And the Amira wanted to make the bracha of Chacham HaRazim upon seeing these two people. And the Ramban explains, how would you make a bracha? Chacham HaRazim is a bracha which we make.
600.
Well, no, saying that only Hashem can get everyone. Right? Yeah, it's when 600,000 yidden together. But what's the meaning of the bracha is that we're saying is only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And here he wanted to say it about these two great people. So the Ramban brings down, we'll have this in a few weeks, the Parsha and Parsha's Pinchas, that it says when Moshe Rabbeinu was about to pass away, and when he finally realized the finality of what was about to happen, so Moshe turns to Hashem and he says to Hashem, Hashem Melekei Aruchos L'chol Basar, Hashem, the God of all the spirits, of all people, Yifkeid Hashem Melekei Aruchos L'chol Basar, may Hashem, the God of the spirits of all people, let him appoint Ish Asher Ruach Boy, a person who has Ruach, who has a spirit, to lead the people. So the Sifri says, on this pasuk, the Sifri says that when Moshe asked that he wants Ish Asher Ruach Boy, he wants a person who has Ruach within him. So the Sifri says, and Rashi brings it down to the pasuk, that this means that Moshe asked for someone someone who has the ability to be able to relate to every single individual.
You didn't know that Yeshua will continue?
Moshe asked Hashem to appoint such a person.
But he didn't know that.
But it's not humanly possible. Again, we just said before, it's not humanly possible for a person to be able to relate to every person. That's why Moshe prefaced it. He said, Yifkoid Hashem Elikei Haruchos. L'chol basar, right? He should have said, Yifkoid Hashem, Ish Asher Ruach Boy. What is Yifkoid Hashem, Elekei HaRuches? He says, Hashem, you're Elekei HaRuches. You get everyone. I want you to take some of your spirit and put it into the upcoming leader, so the leader also should be able to relate to every single person. And Hashem granted that request. So Yeshua was a leader who had the ability to be able to relate to every single individual on their level, but not because that's a human possibility, because humanly it's impossible. But because of Elekei HaRuchos, because the Hashem, he gave him that special. And therefore, also that Amira wanted to say Chacham HaRazim about those two other rabbis, because he felt that they also had this divine gift. Again, it's not a human gift, but this divine gift of being able to relate to every single individual. Let's do this inside. As the Ramban explains in a sefer Melchames Hashem over there, the Pirush HaSifri, he explains the Sifri Gabi Yeshua, regarding Yeshua, regarding whom it says, Ish Asher Ruach Boy, about Yeshua, it says that he has the spirit within him, he's able to relate to every person. Why? Because of Elekei HaRuches. Interestingly, obviously, this is something which wasn't limited to Yeshua, but an emissar, Reish B'nai Yisrael, someone who's emissar, leader of Kali Yisrael, has this ability also to be able to relate to every person in his generation. It's not a human gift. It's something which comes from above, and this is something, as a chassid of the Rebbe, this is something which was very what's the word I'm looking for? It was very obvious, very apparent by the Rebbe. This gift, which is not a human gift, to be able to relate to every single person on their level. And if you look at today, first of all, you look at Lubavitch today, and you have, it encompasses people of all different personalities and temperaments and styles, and no one gets along with each other. Okay, I didn't mean that. Strike that from the record. But, and you're like wondering, but all these people, they all looked at the Rebbe and said, this is my Rebbe. But what, if you think that these people would like a Rebbe who's their style, and these people would like a Rebbe who's their style, and these people would like a Rebbe who's their style, and here we have everyone looking at the same Rebbe, and people who are mamish on the opposite side of the spectrum, so different in every which way, in their personalities, in their priorities, and the funny thing is, they all look at the Rebbe and say that, you know, the Rebbe is like me. They all say that the Rebbe, you know, those people, some people are more, you know, more logical. Some people are more, you know, more the emuna based or simcha based, or and everyone, they point to the Rebbe, and that's the idea that emes tzaddik, emes reish bnei Yisrael, has this ability which is not human. It's really not human. Human being, you have the people you get, and though they're your friends, they're the people you relate to. But mamish to be able to relate to every single person, and this was something that many people also went into yichidus by the Rebbe. People from all different, not only Lubavitchers, but people from all over the spectrum of the Jewish world, they went in, and everyone felt, you know, they walked out to hear from so many people saying, "We're so surprised. The Rebbe wasn't what I thought he was. The Rebbe got me. Like I thought," and people, everyone would say the same thing. Whoever walked in, the Rebbe connected to them on their level and was able to get to them. It wasn't a one size fits all. Yes.
When Moshe asked Hashem to point someone, he doesn't say Isha Shuach Boy. He says, Yishka Hashem Akeruchas Vichalbach, so Isha Le'edah. So Rashi says, he asked him, Minei Aleyem Malik, appoint a Malik Sheikh Stoibu, Kolecha Bekha Lefidaita. Rashi, that's Lashon for free. Sheikh
What, continue the pasuk. No, that Hashem said, Isha by Yeshua, Isha Sheruach Boy.
Then Hashem said, you know,
Isha Sheruach Boy.
Over there, Rashi says,
right.
When Moshe asked Hashem, he asked, Menei Aleyem Mali, She Yehi Soivu, Kolech Rebecha. If he died there. Interesting, she's Soivu. When he ended the point of Isha Sheruach, he said,
it's an interesting diuk. I don't know. I'd have to look in and think about it. That's an interesting diuk. So the second problem that we have with Svarim, the Alter Rebbe says again, the first problem we said is there's a problem with you. The Sefer is good, the Sefer is beautiful, the Sefer is, there's oyer, there's so much light in the Sefer, but you're blocked. Why are you blocked? Because of your limited capacity, your limited intellect. That was the first problem the Alter Rebbe has said. Now the Alter Rebbe is saying there's another issue, which is the problem with looking at a Sefer might be that the Sefer isn't made for you. You understand how that's distinct from the first problem? The first problem we said was that the problem with the Sefer is made for you, but you don't see it, you can't relate to it. You're in the dark, your mind isn't working. The second problem the Alter Rebbe says with looking at a Sefer is the Sefer might not be for you. The Sefer might have been written for a different personality type. Well, today we talk about there's type A personality and type B personality. I'm not even sure what's what, right? And then if you want, you have there's whole Tatus. I know the people you have, it's the type A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and every person is categorized. You guys know what I'm talking about? There are books about this.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm a K, and you're an M, right? And the problem is that the Sefer that you're looking at, you might be a K, and it was written by an M. That's the problem, and therefore it's not for you. The issue isn't that there's a limit to that you're going in the darkness or your intellect is limited. The issue is it's not for you. So that's, and once again, if you go into a Rebbe, befrat if you accept that a Rebbe is Isha Sheruach Boy, a person who has that ability, then the Rebbe will guide you according to your capability. So again. So far we have two drawbacks with looking at a Sefer, and the drawbacks are that number one is you might be limited, and number two is the Sefer might not be for you. Let's continue inside. Hello. Now we're going to come up with the third issue. I feel a bit Sefri HaYira, even if you're talking about Sfarim of Yira of Musar, Asher Yisaydeisam Baharari Kodesh, that are based completely in the holy mountains, which are Medrashi Chazal, the Medrashim of our Chachamim, Asher Ruach Hashem Diber Bamu Milasi Al Lashonam. This is Mamish, the words of Hashem. What you have in the Medrashim is the words of Hashem. And I wonder if the word Ruach that the Alter Rebbe uses over here isn't precise. I didn't see anyone saying that. But earlier we mentioned the idea of Ruach as being the ability to be able to relate to every single person. Within the Medrash there's a Ruach, the Ruach Hashem, which is why the Medrash talks to every single Yid. The Medrashim are the spirit of Hashem, and the words of Hashem are on the tongues of the Bali HaMedrash. And Hashem and the Torah are one. So if the Sefer of Musar is not built on human logic, but is built on the words of Chazal, then this is Torah. Torah and Hashem is one. All 600,000 neshamas of the Eden, and their details and the details of their details, we'll get that into a second. Ad nitzutz kal shebekalim, to the point, to the spark which is in the neshama of even the lowest yid, the most worthless, sheba amenu, b'nei Yisrael, in our nation, kulu miskashron be'iraisa, everyone connects to Hashem, ve'iraisa hiyam b'kasheres eisom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah connects us to Hashem. We all connect to Torah, and Torah connects us to Hashem, k'neide b'zeir HaKadosh hasdon d'zeir. Ah, so now we hit a stumbling block over here. The Alter Rebbe is saying, okay, but what if there's a sefer that's written, it's all based on Torah. If it's based on Torah, here we can't say that the sefer isn't for me. We can't say it was written by a M and I'm a K. Why? Because if it's Torah, every single yid, the neshama of every single yid is rooted in Torah. In fact, the Megala Amukhe says that the words, the name Yisrael, for Bnei Yisrael, the word Yisrael is a Rosh HaTevis for Yesh Shishim Ribui Eis Yisla Torah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. So every single yid is connected to Torah. Every single yid's neshama is rooted in Torah. And the Torah connects every yid to Hashem. The Zohar tells us, Klas Kishrin Miskashran Da Beda. There are three things, three entities, and they're tied. They're connected one to another. Yidin are connected to Torah, and Torah is connected to Hashem. And that's why when a Yid learns Torah, a Yid connects to Hashem. So if a Sefer is written on based on Torah, here we can't say that it doesn't apply to you, that it's not for your disposition, it's not for your temperament, it's not for your personality type. It's Torah. And all Yidin are rooted in Torah. And he says over here, all 600,000 neshamas, and their details and the details of their details. We have in Tanya, later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe writes, in Peter Glamed Zayim, the Alter Rebbe brings down from Kabbalah, from Sifri Kabbalah, that there are 600,000 original neshamas. And he says, V'chol Shedish, these were roots. The 600,000 neshamas that went out of Mitzrayim, they were root souls. V'chol Shedish mischalek l'shishim ribu yinitzetzis. Every one of those 600,000 neshamas divided into 600,000 parts. So 600,000 times 600,000, if I remember correctly, I think it's 3.4 trillion. But don't hold me to that. But it's not less than that. If anything, maybe it's more than that. Most calculators can't do that amount of numbers. So every single neshama, which is a nitzutz of the original 600,000, is all rooted in Torah. Torah connects us to Hashem. So the question therefore becomes, how is it? So therefore, l'chayra, if a sefer is written on Torah, then you have no more excuse to say, I need to go into Yechidus. You can't say it doesn't talk to me. What do you mean it doesn't talk to you? It's Torah. And Torah talks to you. So we'll continue on this Emir Tashem next week, but we'll end off with a cute story. I might have said it before. That in Tzfas, in the 1500s, where the Arizal lived, as you know, there are many, many great people who lived in Tzfas at that time. And one of the people who lived in Tzfas at that time was the Alshich. And the Alshich wanted to learn Kabbalah. So he came to the Arizal and asked the Arizal to teach him Kabbalah. So the Arizal said, fine. So they made a chavrusa. But as soon as they started learning Kabbalah, the Al-Sheikh fell asleep. Okay, maybe he was tired. They tried it again. Same thing happened. Again, the same thing happened. Every time that the Arizal would start learning Kabbalah, the Al-Sheikh, he fell asleep. And obviously he felt very bad about that, the Al-Sheikh, and he told him, the Arizal told him, don't feel bad. Your neshama is connected to the world of Drush, not to the world of Soida. That's why you're falling asleep. The Rebbe actually repeated this story more than once. And the context was, the Rebbe would sit by Farbring and Shabbos, and the Rebbe would Farbring, Shabbos afternoon. What do people usually do Shabbos afternoon after the chant?
Sleep.
Fall asleep. And there were people who would fall asleep by the Farbring. And it bothered the Rebbe. The Rebbe spoke about it a few times. In fact, once they decided they're removing all the benches. That's it, everyone has to stand.
Can't sleep.
Yeah, everyone had to stand.
And the Rebbe
was upset, and the Rebbe came in the Sabbath of Ringen, and he said, I want you to know, I had nothing to do with this, I wasn't consulted about this. Yeah, I'm not happy when people sleep, but the benches have to be there, people should be able to sit. But one time the Rebbe said that he said the story of the Arizal and the Al-Sheikh. So he said, I thought maybe that's the reason why people are sleeping over here, but the problem is, I speak Pshat and people are sleeping, and then I speak Drush and the people are still sleeping, and I speak Remez and they're still sleeping, and I speak Soid and they're still sleeping. So it can't be because they have a Shaykh, it's only to one part of Torah, not the other. Vakapanim, the point from this story is, which is something which we're going to continue on the topic next week, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, although it is true that every year there's a connection to Torah, but we know that every single part of Torah can be interpreted in many ways. And every yid has a connection to a certain interpretation. And therefore, even if a sefer is based on Torah, it's possible that you won't find your interpretation in there, and that will, Mr. Shem, will talk about more at length in the upcoming share.